You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On to the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about Joey Gallo because, you know, if it's not Locked On Rangers, it used to be the Locked On Joey Gallo podcast. It's no longer that. I'm trying to bring it back. There is all kinds of fun stuff to talk about today. But first, this is the first show on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, or I guess just watching me on YouTube, thank you. If you're not, please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Look up Locked On Texas Rangers on YouTube. Please go subscribe and like and say nice things because I would really, really appreciate that. But today is Tuesday, September 21st, the 21st day of September, if you will. So happy Earth, Wind, and Fire Day to all those of you who celebrate. And if not, please go listen to the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, because if you don't do that today, then, like, honestly, what are you doing? You can listen to that song every day. It's a great song every day. But, like, today especially, it's a really, really great song because, you know, today is the 21st day of September. If you listen to it at night particularly, that's, like, more fitting. But, you know, it's fine. The Rangers are not fine. They are 55-95 in line for the third overall pick in the draft right now. As it stands, they are 7 games out of a tie for the first pick with Arizona and Baltimore. Both of those teams won yesterday. The Rangers lost, so they got a little bit closer. The Pirates are now 1 game. I guess the Rangers are 1 game ahead of them. The Pirates have the 4th pick, and they're not going to fall any further behind that. So it's looking like 3rd pick right now. We'll see what happens with this weekend. The Rangers are going to have a series against Baltimore, a 4-game series. So, I mean, theoretically, they could, if the Orioles sweep them, they could make up a lot of ground. But the Orioles are a really, really bad team at home, like one of the worst in Major League Baseball. It's kind of insane. The Rangers have been really terrible on the road. So it's really a battle of who's not good. And Connor Newcomb of Locked On Orioles will be joining me on the show later this week to talk about that 4-game series. Going to be an intense one, a real tank off, if you will. But yeah, let's talk about the game. The game last night with the Rangers ended up losing 4-3 to the New York Yankees. Was not a great game for, you know, just about anybody except for Isaiah Kiner, Falefa, Andy Ibañez. Both of those guys had multi-hit games, pretty solid performances from them. And the bullpen, again, looked really solid. Jarrell Cotton pitching inning in 2/3 of shutout baseball, didn't allow a single hit, struck out a pair, looked really solid. Brett Martin gave up a couple of hits, but struck out a pair in his inning in 2/3 as well. Spencer Patton came in an inning in 1/3. This bullpen of shutout baseball, this bullpen really kept this Rangers team in it, you know, as much as they could, but the offense was not able to get things done for them in this one. Adolis Garcia had an 0-for-3 game with a pair of strikeouts. He did get an RBI, which was nice of him. Extra base hits for Leo Tavares' 5th double of the season. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa had his 25th double of the season off of Nestor Cortez. And of course, we had a Charlie Culberson home run, his 5th of the season. Charlie Culberson is a guy who absolutely mashes lefties, a nice veteran presence there, hitting 8th in the lineup, playing 3rd base in this one. Got to see a little bit of Andy Ibañez at the DH spot. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa has been moved up into the leadoff spot. Well, Leo Tavares has been moved down in the order. He's been doing much better since he's been on his recent hot streak. Not quite as hot right now. But I do like the idea of him hitting lower in the lineup. He is still a young guy. He doesn't have that many major league at-bats under his plate. He does have enough for him to not be considered a rookie next year, and therefore I'll have to not make a very difficult choice when I'm ranking my top prospects come next season, maybe this offseason. I don't know. We'll see where that lands. But still, this is only his 2nd actual season in the big leagues. He only got 71 games under his belt at the big league level. The numbers are looking a little bit better than they did early on, but still not super great. The only really great number is that he's still perfect on stolen bases. He's still 17-0 in his major league career. He's got 9 stolen bases this year, has not been caught stealing, had 8 stolen bases last year in 33 games. He's played 38 at this point. This season, he's got 3 home runs, 2 triples, 5 doubles. So the slugging numbers are, you know, up relative to the rest of the other numbers. But the numbers were so bad to start the season. And then when he got called back up, things were really, really rough for him. The overall numbers are still not great in OPS right now of 495. That's not ideal. That's not what you want, slugging under 300 on base just 3 points above 200 and batting average of 163. That's not really what you want. That's not what you want, but you know, he's getting better. And those numbers as of late are a little bit better, but not all that much. He's been in kind of a slump the last seven games, where he is hitting 179, on base of 207, and slugging 214. Does not have a home run in that span. One walk to 11 strikeouts. Yeah, not really what you're looking for, but again, it's been a rough year for him at the big league level. He showed some improvements in his power at the AAA level, which was encouraging. I think it's going to be a little tough for him at the beginning of next year. I don't think he's going to blow up offensively, but his defensive value is just too important to leave at the minor league level. And so next year, I think he's definitely going to be starting at the major league level, which he'll be 24 then. He will still be 23. He'll turn 24 during next season. My math was wrong. I was looking at his debut as his birthday, but that is not correct. He was born in September 8th of 1998. So still a youngin', and will still be 24 for the vast majority of next season. So yeah, I think it will be a challenge for him, but I think he'll be up to it. And like, no matter what, he will provide a lot of value at the big league level. It's kind of wild how much value defensively in terms of war center field defense can give. But if we remember back in 2014, Leonis Martin had a really, really good season with the Rangers, did not do very much offensively, actually hasn't been in the league, at least at the major league level, since 2019. But in 2014, that really, really terrible year, he had a very, very good season, a 4.4 war season, where his offensive war was somehow 2.6, his defensive war was 2.3. The stuff that he did in center field was amazing. I don't know that Leone's arm is quite as big as Leonis's. Leonis has about the strongest arm I think I've ever seen as a center fielder. It was really raw in terms of his ability to, you know, throw accurately. It was always strong, but his ability to field the ball cleanly and throw the ball accurately, that took some time to develop. His routes weren't nearly as clean as Leone's are. I think they're about the same speed. Maybe Leone might be a little bit faster. I don't know that he'll have. I think he might have actually a little bit more power upside. I would like to see him hit some walk-off home runs like Leonis Martin did, including that one in the iconic run of three straight walk-off nights. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get to see Leone Taveras do a lot of things at the big league level since he is still so young and will be with the Rangers for quite some time. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We can come back a little bit, look a little bit more at this game, and then about Joey Gallo missing the Texas Rangers just as much as I miss him. Well, maybe not that much, but we'll see. Right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We are back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. Well, not my eyes. My eyes are still on the baseball season, but, you know, I can keep my eyes in multiple different places. It's fine. I have multiple TVs, and, you know, so do a lot of people, not the flex. But as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to use that promo code Locked On. Now let's look a little bit more at this game. AJ Alexi did not have a great run for the Texas Rangers in this one. His last outing was a little bit rough, but he was coming into the game as a piggyback starter for Spencer Howard, who also did not have a great game. So those bats were warmed up against him and continued to just mash. But in this one, he was back to starting and he did not look great. 3 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 4 runs. All those were earned. 6 walks. Six walks. That is not great. But he was able to work around having so many base runners and only allowing 4 runs when allowing, 6 base runners. That is... You know, it's kind of impressive. And, you know, one of those runs did come on a Gary Sanchez home run. He's struggled a little bit with the long ball in the last couple of outings. AJ Lexi, not Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez still hits a bunch of bombs. Gary Sanchez is struggling with defense, but this is not a Yankees podcast. This is a Rangers podcast. And AJ Lexi, you know, I thought he was more of a sure bet than Glenn Otto. I think long term he might be. And even though Glenn Otto has gotten roughed up his last couple of outings, it's just, I still think that Glenn Otto has a better shot to hold down a spot in the rotation next year than AJ Lexi. Not that I don't love AJ Lexi. I think he's done great stuff this year, particularly what he did in the minor leagues this year across two different levels was really impressive, especially since, you know, he didn't, has had like a bunch of struggles. He's only pitched 100 innings in a season once, and that was in 2018 as a 20-year-old with Hickory, back when they were still the low A affiliate. This year, he pitched in two different levels at the minor league level, I guess, to say. Frisco, he had a 1.61 ERA in 13 games. Seven of those were starts. 50 in a third inning, struck out 57. That is 10.2 strikeouts per nine innings, but the walks were still a little bit of a problem. 3.8 walks per nine. Didn't have a problem with the home runs, though. 0.7 home runs per nine. And when we bumped up to the AAA level, his numbers were basically the same. He had basically the same amount of success, a little bit not super far was he going in his outings, 14 and two-thirds innings in three starts. So under just under five innings per start, which I'd like to see that be a little bit more, but, you know, it's fine. As a guy who is 6'4", listed at 195, I think he'll grow into that a little bit and be able to be a guy who can be a consistent, you know, 200 innings a year guy, which is something the Rangers need. I think he projects as somewhere around a number three starter. Right now, he's got an ERA of 5 in 18 innings of his major league career. So, yeah, he's had a bit of a struggle as of late. His first two outings looked great, but the walks were a bit of a concern. At the Round Rock level, three starts, like I said, just under 15 innings. He had 19 strikeouts, six walks, so that was 3.7 walks per nine, 11.7 strikeouts per nine, a 1.84 ERA. So, it's not a small, not a tiny sample size to see 16 games, 10 starts at the minor league level, 65 innings. He did really well and he earned his call up. But, you know, the gap between the major leagues and the minor leagues is, I feel like it's growing every year. It is huge. It is incredibly difficult to be a good big leaguer. It's incredibly difficult to be an average big leaguer. Like guys like Charlie Culberson who are like, he's fine. He's, you know, an end of the bench major league guy for, I don't know, a team that stinks and, you know, has the potential to be about that for most teams, or an end of bench guy for a team that's okay. But that's an incredibly difficult thing to do. Like these guys are the best of the best and there's so many of them. And getting that jump from being a really good minor leaguer to a pretty decent major leaguer is huge. So I've got faith in him, but I do think he starts next season at the AAA level. I think he needs a little bit more seasoning. But, you know, we'll see. He'll be 24 next year. He's got all his options because this is the first time he's made the major league, made the major leagues at all. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with him next year. We'll probably see at least another start, maybe two. I don't know about two. We might just see one more AJ Lexi start, or we might not see any. That would be totally understandable because Mike Foltynewicz is back. And so I think they would be able to give him a spot in the rotation. He did pitch three innings in his last time out of the bullpen. So we'll see. But I want to talk about Joey Gallo real quickly, take a quick break and talk more about him. But first, I just got to talk about Joey Gallo, what he's been doing with the Yankees lately. He started off and things were really rough for his first 40 games. Like he did not do well, had an OPS under 700. The batting average was, you know, what it always is. And I don't know if Yankees fans cared a lot about that, but he was striking out a bunch, which, you know, he does that. That's fine. He's got 197 strikeouts on the season, but he has also got 107 walks. So, you know, take that for what you will. And he's also a fantastic defender. I don't know why they're playing him so much in left field as opposed to right field, maybe because Yankees right field is so short. There is less area to be in. So Giancarlo Stanton is okay being there in right field, and they think Joey Gallo has, you know, more range and ability to play left field while Aaron Judge is playing center field. I don't know. That is a bunch of big dudes in the outfield, and I think Joey Gallo would be the best defensive center fielder among them. But if they think that Aaron Judge can hold up with all that it takes on the physical toll that it takes on your body playing center field every day, I think that makes sense because the Rangers saw that, and that's why they went from him playing center field every day like he did in 2019 when he had his real breakout season to being an everyday right fielder, you know, a little bit less running, a little bit less diving, a little bit less wear and tear on that big man to keep him healthy for the long term, because that's more important than adding a little bit more defensive value in center field versus right field. So I get that, and I think that was a smart decision. Him playing left field there, I don't know, but, you know, whatever. But anyway, the last seven games, he has been absolutely turning it on. In 20 at-bats, he's got five home runs that last seven games, hitting .350 on base, .381 slugging, 1,100. Yeah, his slugging percentage is 1,100. That is absolutely insane. His OPS would be just under 1,500. Just really impressive numbers for him the last seven games. Didn't do as great last night. Did try and bunt for a base hit in his first at-bat against his old team, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, and a huge middle finger to all the people who were saying, Joey Gallo, just bunt against the shift. Blah, 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 blah. I think that might have been a little bit what that was, because the shift wasn't as extreme. The bunt wasn't super good, and he did end up grounding out. The ball was fielded by Jonah Heim, who did not have a great day offensively. It, an 0-for-4 game with four strikeouts. But, you know, he did field that bunt pretty cleanly and got Joey Gallo out. Joey would end up going hitless in this game, but did draw a walk. Went 0-for-3 with one strikeout. Like I said, that ground out and another fly out. One left on base, but, you know, it's fine. The rest of his team was able to carry him. Nestor Cortez looked pretty solid. Seven strikeouts in 4 1/3 innings. The rest of the bullpen did not allow a single run. The Rangers tried to come back with those three runs, but, you know, after that, the bullpen was absolutely nails for them. They have a really good bullpen, which, you know, fine, whatever, it's fine. But I'm gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I'm gonna talk a little bit about Joey Gallo's comments and about his old team, and, you know, what that might say about the Rangers' potential to maybe think about bringing him back. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, but we'll take this quick break and we'll come back and talk about Joey Gallo. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why do you spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you need, so go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, let's look into a little bit of what Joey Gallo said. It was his first game against the Rangers. There was some question if he was going to play. He left on Sunday's game with neck stiffness. There was a question, is he going to play in this game? Is he healthy? But, you know, Yankees said it's all fine. He's all good. We're going to play him in left field like we normally do, hit him in fifth in the order. Okay, that's fine. But this is what Joey Gallo had to say about his former team. He said, quote, I'm still dealing with it. That it being the decision the Rangers made to trade him to the Yankees. He said, I still think about the Rangers a lot. Sometimes I'll see on TV the Rangers are playing so-and-so, and I think we've got a game tonight. I'm so used to being with the Rangers. It's all I've known. I'm getting used to being here in a new organization, and they've welcomed everybody with open arms, but it's also like being at a new school. You know, there was some thought that he was was crying a little bit before he came out and made these comments in his pregame availability. You know, he still has a lot of feelings about the Rangers. He was very open, very adamant with the press and saying that I want a contract extension. I want to stay with the Rangers. This is the team that drafted me. This is the only team that I've ever known. They've treated me well. And this is where I want to stay. I know they're not winning right now, but I think they can. And I want to be a part of that. I mean, those weren't all direct quotes, but that was the general theme of what he was saying. And in what ended up being his last game before he left, he took a moment. He had an on-field interview with Emily Jones, if you remember. He thanked the fans for being so wonderful to him. I think he knew at that point that he was being traded either later that night or the next day. But he's just a 100% a class act. He is beloved by who I would deem sane Rangers fans. He is a very good player, a two-time All-Star, the best homegrown player the Rangers have had in nearly a decade. I mean, Ian Kinsler is the only one who's even comes close to him. Honestly, the only one who even comes close is Ian Kinsler. It's insane how they did not keep this guy, the contract offer that they gave him, 5 years and $84 million, was just an insult to everything he is. That is under $20 million a year for a guy who's a two-time All-Star, who was an MVP candidate this season, is a two-time gold, will be a two-time gold glover by the time it's all said and done. I mean by the end of this year. He is a guy who is a franchise caliber player. And even if you don't think he is that, he's the closest thing you've had since Adrian Beltre left. And he's the youngest one you've had, like I said, since Ian Kinsler, who wasn't even the face of that team, since Michael Young, he's even a significantly better player than Elvis Andrus, as much as I love Elvis Andrus, and he was the face of the franchise for a long time, or close to it, one of the faces. Joey Gallo is someone that you needed to have to build around. It is so, so difficult to draft and develop or trade for and develop these young stars or just all-stars in general. It is so difficult. The Rangers got a guy right now and a guy who will finish in the top five of an awards race. Like I think Joey Gallo would have in 2019, had he stayed healthy that entire season, he definitely would have been a top five MVP finisher. He's just was one of the best players in baseball that year. And those guys don't grow on trees. It is so hard to get them. And as much as I like Josh Smith and Glenn Otto and Ezekiel Duran and whoever else was in that trade, they're not going to live up to being Joey Gallo. You're not going to get that right now in this market. It is so hard. Nobody parts with these guys who have the potential to be that. Even if it is for a guy who is already that, it's a little frustrating, but that's the reality of the market right now. You don't get those guys very often. You don't often swindle a team like the White Sox were swindled by the Padres in trading James Shields for Fernando Tatis Jr. Not that anybody knew that he would be this at the time, but he has become this. And those things don't happen very often. So I think it was stupid of them to offer that embarrassing of a contract. And, you know, Scott Boras and Joey Gallo were right to not even counteroffer because the talks weren't going to go anywhere. If that's your first offer, that's a huge middle finger to the guy who has been your best player for the last few years. While your team has been terrible, he's been providing you, you know, a face you can put on the tickets, a face you can put on the posters, the commercials, the, hey, we may suck, but you're going to see Joey Gallo hit the absolute tarnation out of a baseball. Like, and you don't have that anymore. Adolis Garcia is fun, but he is not anywhere close to the level of Joey Gallo. Nobody on this team is. No one's even close. And there's not a lot of prospects in the system that have even a ceiling of like 100 percentile of being what Joey Gallo has been this year and in 2019. So I understand him being, you know, frustrated, and he's been frustrated with being a Yankee because he grew up a Yankees fan. And as recently as last week, the Yankees fans were booing him, and he's a really emotional guy. He cares a lot about a lot of things, which is what we loved about him, or at least what I loved about him. And I think a lot of people did. But this is what he had to say about being booed. He said, "I've been pretty good at handling it. First couple times it hurts a little bit. No one's excited to be booed, but these are passionate fans. When you go good, there is no better place to be. They want you to win. The expectations and the pressure are a lot higher," which, yeah, they are. Yankees fans are intense. Not that Rangers fans don't care, or don't care as much, but like the intensity of Yankees fans in Yankee Stadium, it is a difficult place to be. And certain types of players excel there. Certain types of players don't. Derek Jeter obviously excelled there very well. Other guys have excelled there very well as well, like Mark Teixeira and, you know, A-Rod and all those guys. Other guys, not so much. Kenny Rogers didn't do super well there. Joey Gallo is learning to live with it. And, you know, he's blowing up right now at the right time. He is a guy who's very hot and cold, had a prolonged cold streak, obviously, to start first 40 games with the Yankees, and now is looking like he is going on a hot streak at exactly the right time. They need every single game. They're half a game back of the Blue Jays right now for that second wild card spot. But this is what Chris Woodward had to say about Joey Gallo and him handling the boos and all the things that come with being a member of the New York Yankees. He cares, Woodward said on Monday. When guys care, it hurts more. Justin Turner has that. Chris Taylor has that. Maybe I'm a little bit philosophical, but that's part of what's missing in our society. A lot of times, the fact that we don't care and we're not sensitive enough to what's going on, we're not empathetic and compassionate to other people around us, and we're so quick to throw barbs at people. Joey feels all that. He takes it to heart, and that's part of being a human being. It's his biggest strength, but sometimes our biggest strength can get in the way and affect performance. You have to have a short memory in this game. He's learning that there. And so, yeah, Chris Woodward has been very vocally supportive of Joey Gallo, even as soon as recently as 2019. He called Joey Gallo the best player in baseball, which that's a huge compliment. And Chris Woodward has been around a lot of really great players. I mean, he was with the Dodgers for so long, and they have a lot of really good players and have a lot of really good players right now and did when he was there. So that's a huge compliment for him. It's also a lot of pressure. And I think Joey Gallo felt a lot of that pressure in 2020. And I think that was one of the reasons he didn't do as well. But in 2021, he knew, all right, this is what it's like. This is the pressure of being an all-star level player, being as good as I am. I have to live with it and deal with it. And even if my team sucks, I can't let it get to me and have to try and fix everything. I just got to be the best version of me. And that's what he did this year. And I'm glad that he's on a Yankees team that he's hitting fifth. He's not hitting third. He's not hitting first. He is hitting fifth, which means he is not thought of as the guy who has to fix everything. And I think that's good for him. They have a lot of good hitters there. They have DJ LeMahieu. They have Anthony Rizzo. They have Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Joey Gallo. That's a lot of other guys that can shoulder the burden when Joey Gallo is slumping a little bit. And when he's on, him adding to all those guys and what they can do, that makes a big difference in their lineup. So he can go be the hero and not have to have the entire weight of the entire world on his shoulders. And I think that's good for him. Obviously, I'm wishing him nothing but the best. He is a free agent following next season. And there is a world in which he returns to the Rangers. I don't know if I'm willing to let myself believe that's a possibility, but I think it is. I'm just not emotionally ready to go there quite yet because it was so painful losing him. Obviously, he was my favorite player, is still my favorite player in baseball. The guy who went through the system I was rooting for and followed very closely, and seeing him come up and be the best version of himself has been very exciting. And it really sucks that it's not on a Rangers team that is competing for championships or just competing for the playoffs or just, you know, competing in general. It's kind of sad to see him have to do that somewhere else. But, you know, the Rangers aren't going to be bad forever. This front office is doing a good job of trying to turn things around. It's a long process, and I don't know if they'll be ready for spending big on bringing a guy like Joey Gallo back in here when he's a free agent after next season. But I don't know. We'll see. That fits in what they said their timeline is and starting to compete in 2023. Honestly, I just want Joey Gallo back here very badly because I miss watching him every day in a Rangers uniform. It hurts my soul seeing him both clean shaven and in a Yankees uniform. Both of those things are just morally repugnant to me. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm glad he is thriving now. I hope that he can hit some bombs against the Rangers, help them, you know, tank their draft stock a little bit and just succeed and be beloved by Yankees fans, but not so beloved that he doesn't come back to the Rangers after next season. But that's going to do it for for this edition of Locked On Rangers. I'll be back later this week, hopefully with some more guests, with Grant Schiller, the OG. I'll be talking with Locked On Orioles hosts by the end of this week about that series, Connor Newcomb. Going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, maybe another guest in there in between. Who knows? But that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.